Is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you've got a praise report or a testimony, something you'd like to share, you can reach us at 321-454-4263. You can email us at merrittassembly.com. I also want to encourage you that if you are on Facebook or Instagram. Now, I can't tell you what it is on Instagram because I don't do Instagram. My daughters are taking care of that, but they are doing a phenomenal job of keeping things up to date as far as announcements, things that are coming up, events that are about to happen. They also put some messages up there, some inspirational messages, whatever God lays on the heart that day. Sometimes it's a little synopsis of the sermon the Sunday before. And so if you haven't gone to Facebook and found Merritt Assembly of God, go and you can check it out. I don't know how Instagram works, but I'm sure you could do a search for Merritt Assembly of God and you'd find us on there. In fact, some of the things that they post on Instagram won't necessarily transfer over to Facebook. Really don't know why that is. They do a great job of keeping that up to date, and so it would be really something if you're interested in what's going on at Merritt Assembly of God, that they keep that up to date, and because there might be things that I forget that happens from time to time. So with that being said, I do want to remind you, today is election day. If you do not vote today, you do not get an oops, I forgot about that tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late. If you don't vote, don't complain. Well, don't complain anyway. But if you have not expressed your voice, then you have even less credibility when it comes to dealing with people who express their voice and their voice went in a direction different than yours. I want to encourage you. There are votes for governor. There are votes for United States Senator. There's votes for the House of Representatives. There are votes for the State House, the State Senate. There's county commissioners. There's school board members. There are also, I know that there's up to 13 amendments, but some of them didn't make it onto the ballot. There's a number of ballots, and you need to be informed. You need to be prayed up. You need to vote, not for any superficial reason. You need to vote for the person that expresses the will of God for the, as you have determined it. That's what I want to be able to say. God, I stood before you, and I voted. Not every election that has happened went along the lines of what I was voting for. But I want to be able to stand and say, God, I may not have been able to persuade others because I'm much more concerned about persuading them to be Christians. But what I do want to do is make sure that I'm able to give an adequate accounting of my stewardship of the vote that I was given. So there was one election I was voting on. It was a business meeting. It wasn't Merritt Assembly of God. And, there was a vote, and I voted one way and I lost the election. And because of some, Robert's rule of order, it was brought up again a second time. And I didn't like the fact that it was brought up a second time. So I switched my vote and voted the opposite direction, and I lost that vote as well. And I came away from that meeting saying, you know, I think I'm the first person in the history of voting that lost the election both times and got exactly what I wanted. So I just want to be able to stand before God and say, God, I was a faithful steward of what you gave me. So I want to encourage you, get out and vote. If you didn't register, then make sure that you get registered for the next election that comes up, because it is very, very important. Now, we're going to go back to the Word of God today. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. We're discussing the will of God, and Ephesians chapter 1 is just loaded with all sorts of information concerning the believers and the will of God. We're going to read again in verse number 3. We talked about this some on yesterday's program. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." Now, I would just tell you, we're focused on the will of God here, and so that's where we're going to focus our attention as we're going through this passage. But as I'm reading through that passage, I find things repeated a number of times. In him, in Christ, in Christ again, in him again. There's a whole lot that Paul is trying to communicate to the Ephesians church about the change in dynamic that is available because we are in Christ. We ask Jesus to come into our heart and be the Savior and Lord of our life. And when we do, we become a part of the body of Christ. We become in him, and it changes everything. It changes the entire dynamic of life. It changes your eternity. It changes the bearings that your past has on you. It changes your present. It changes your spirit, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your finances, your mindset. It changes the way you approach the day every day. Everything changes because you are in Christ. And if it hasn't yet, understand that God wants to. So let me take you back to verse 4, because that's where we ended up on yesterday's broadcast. It says there, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So let me just stop there. Remember who is writing this passage. Paul is writing this. His name before his conversion was Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. He was one that tortured people until they renounced their faith. He was there giving his consent when the first martyr took place. And Stephen was there testifying about the goodness of God and the relationship that we can have with God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And Saul was there giving consent unto his death. a persecutor of the church. Paul would label himself the chiefest of sinners. But mercy was shown to him. And so he would later on say that he could stand clean of the blood of all men. And I want you to understand that that statement, when you look at the reality that Saul was largely responsible for Stephen's martyr, you would have to scratch your head and say, how is that possible? And I would tell you, it was because he heard the message that Stephen preached. And when he encountered Jesus, he encountered his forgiveness, and God wiped away his sins and removed the condemnation from his life. He would write that Christ is going to present the church without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, without blame. The only way that we can stand blameless before God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're never going to be able to work yourself free from blame. But because of the work that Jesus did, you can do that. So I was in a discussion one time, and this person was constantly negative about themselves. All of their statements were negative about themselves. And so I finally asked a question about their take on their relationship with God. And I've known other people to do it. And some people just beat themselves up all the time. And you are living under the condemnation of the enemy. I know a wife who told their husband, stop beating up my husband, you know? And so I said, well, what would you say if I just sat here and just punched myself in the face? And like, well, why would you do that? And I said, well, it wouldn't be healthy. It wouldn't be normal, would it? And the answer was no. I said, well, as far as God's concerned, when your sins are forgiven, it is senseless and offensive to constantly be berating and beating yourself up for something he's already forgiven you for. So it is the will of God for us to be holy. It is the will of God for us to be without blame before him. And it is also God's will for us to live in a condition of love. Love is an absolutely essential ingredient for a healthy life. Please know today that you are loved. I'm not talking about the ooey gooey, you know, feel good love that the world presents. I'm not talking about the definition of love that says, well, if you love me, you've got to approve of everything that I do. Look, I love my wife with everything that I've got within me, and she loves me with everything that she's got within her. But I guarantee you, she doesn't like everything that I do, and I can guarantee you that I don't like everything that she does. It's not because we're perfect. In fact, the other day I was doing a little bit of thinking, and I said, you know, God has called us saints. He hasn't called us angels. And what I meant by that is we're saints of God. Our spiritual condition has changed. Our nature has changed. Our character is changing, but we're not spotless. We're not perfect yet. We're still working there. We can be messengers of God, but we're not perfect. And so And by the way, when I say my wife doesn't approve of everything that I do, I may not get to the table as quick as she'd like, or something like that. We're not talking, you know, that type of negative stuff. I'm just letting you know we're both human beings. And so we need to make sure that every person knows that they are loved. And I try and make sure that when we come to church, that everybody knows that they are loved, whether it's the youngest child or the oldest senior citizen. I want them to know that they are important, that they are missed if they're not there, and that they are valuable to God and they are valuable to us. And listen, we are not a monochrome church. We don't all look alike. That is not what we are trying to become. We are trying to become a glorious representation of the eternal church, which is from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And that is done purposely. That is done purposely. We want everybody to know that they're loved. Verse number 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we're going to talk about the will of God here. It's the good pleasure of his will. It's something that is not lamentable. It is not something that is regrettable. It brings good pleasure to God. It brings great glory to God. It is pleasing and acceptable to us. And what is it that is being described is the fact that he has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people that take this passage and they do a couple of spiritual contortions with it that I just am not quite frankly able to do. The first one is that there are people who will take this verse and said, well, that's it. God's predestined all of us to go to heaven, and so therefore we're all going to heaven. That does not take into consideration the fact of the people that the Bible describes as not going to heaven. You can look in Revelation and you can see that not every man, woman, and child is going to end up in heaven. Some of them end up in the lake of fire. So I can't stretch that far, that everybody's going to be saved. There's another dynamic, and that says, well, God predestined some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. And that doesn't take into consideration the verse that says, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. See, what do you do with that? What do you do with the fact that Jesus was identified as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world? Where do we find the proper biblical balance between the sovereignty of God and what he has predestined for us and the free will that we get to exercise? So I believe that God has plotted a course for every man, woman, and child, that it is his predetermined will that we all come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, he created man with a free will, an ability to choose, because he wasn't just looking to put robots on the path and say, whatever you do, don't get off the path. He was looking for people who would intentionally choose to follow the path that he wanted them to live by. Okay, so God in his sovereignty said, this is where I want you to go. I want you saved. I want you in heaven with me. That's what I want. But I created you with a desire. And how are you going to respond? Are you going to choose me, or are you going to reject me? So, there was a football play that happened a little over a week ago. I didn't see it, but I read an article about it because I was trying to figure out why people were making such a big deal about this particular play. The Green Bay Packers were playing the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams had kicked a field goal to go ahead by 2 points. And when they kicked off, there was 2 minutes and 6 seconds left to go in the game. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks. And so the coach instructed the special teams, okay, the plan is this. When they kick off, we are going to, if it reaches the end zone, we are going to just call for a fair catch, and it's going to be a touchback, and we're going to come out and we're going to get the ball on the 20 yard line or 25 or whatever it is. And then we're going to have a timeout at the 2 minute warning. And then we've got one timeout of our own left. And all we've got to do is go 40 or 50 yards. And that gives us a shot at kicking the game winning field goal. That's the plan. That is the determination of the coach and the players, and everybody understood that. But when the kickoff happened, the guy who received the ball decided that he was going to run the ball out of the end zone. Well, the other players weren't prepared for that, so the defenders came down, and the guy fumbled the ball, and the game was lost because the other team got the ball, and now there was no chance whatsoever for the Packers to get the ball back and mount a comeback. So I ask you, was it predetermined? Was it predestined? I mean, was that what the coach had predestined? It wasn't. That was what the player chose to do. The best thing that you and I could do as believers, and I'm not here to do a sports talk show or anything like that. I'm just using that as an example to say God has a beautiful, glorious path that he wants to lead us on if we will stick with the plan, if we will say yes to his will. So, too many times we try and put our plan in place instead of embracing God's plan. And I will tell you that whenever 100% of the time, okay, I can't guarantee it any more than that. 100% of the time when we reject or set aside God's plan for our plan, it doesn't work out well. That's the truth. Our plan will always leave us worse than God's plan will. So, according to the good pleasure of his will, if you and I would come to the place where we realize that the will of God is the place where the greatest pleasures of our life, the greatest joy of our life is going to be, we would be choosing the will of God more and more often. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, the empowering of the saints by God through his grace, to where we are accepted in the body of Christ. We are accepted by the other members of the body of Christ and by the God of the body, that we find ourselves there because of God's tremendous grace. It's absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's where everybody ought to go. You say, well, that could never happen. Their society is so far gone, there's not any way that we could reach the massive amounts of humanity with the grace of God. And I would encourage you, don't try and sell that to the early church, because there was a small group of believers when Jesus was crucified. There was a small group of believers when he was ascended to the right hand of the Father. There was a small group of believers when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And within the next 100 years, the gospel of Jesus Christ had reached massive amounts of humanity. Massive, huge percentages of the population. Why? Well, it starts off with what we talked about earlier in a broadcast yesterday, and that is Paul found his place in the body of Christ, and Peter found his place in the body of Christ, and John found theirs, and Timothy found his, and Mark found his, and people found where they were supposed to serve, and then they served with everything. And there were signs and wonders, and there were people who were telling others about Jesus, and churches being planted, and reaching communities with the hope of Christ. And you know what people needed in that society? They needed Jesus. They needed the hope that could bring. And I want you to know, if God sent revival to Judah in the Old Testament, he can send revival now. If God could touch the mass of humanity in the first century AD, he can touch the mass of humanity in 2018. God wants to use you and I. It's the grace of God. And today, if you are feeling out of place in the world, I want to encourage you to let you know there's a place for you at the banquet table of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a place for you at the foot of the cross where you can have your sins forgiven. There's a place where you can hear that God loves you and has a plan for your life and wants to do life together with you. And there is a glorious, glorious future in store for those of us who have said yes to God's will. It is a, let me just put it to you this way. It is according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you realize that all heaven rejoices whenever a sinner gives their heart to the Lord? And today, if you have never asked Jesus to transform your life by the word of God and forgive your sins and rid you of the blame and the guilt and the condemnation, I want you to know today would be a great day to do it. And when you do, you're going to find that God accepts you even when man rejects you, and he's ready to throw a celebration because you said yes to his will. See you next time right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Till the day.